We've all been acting like this is normal. Holding our breaths for months. This isn't normal.
We have to keep our cool or they win.
I've been keeping my cool my whole life. I've always been the nice guy. The Good Samaritan. The thing is, Eric is dead. Jesus is dead. And I'm goddamn sick of being nice.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Fear Me. You just see me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Whoa.
I just took a big drink when you started.
You doing okay?
I'm much better now. Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Great.
Just give me a little more warning next time.
Sorry.
It's all right.
How are you guys?
Fantastic. 5-day weekend is starting now.
Oh, yeah, nice. But is that a good or bad thing?
I don't think it's good and bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's a very good thing.
We have no schedule.
It's not a 5-day weekend for the parents.
No.
Hmm.
Kim's doing okay right now. When we do our next podcast, though,
yeah,
I'm hoping she's still here.
Yeah,
she's still with us.
I might have run away
screaming in terror.
Oh, because of the 5-day thing?
Yeah. We're lucky to have her this week.
Thank you. I hope you remember that.
Yeah, it's been recorded now, folks.
How are you doing, Scott?
You have to do something verbal.
Oh, I'm doing great.
Tell me what
you don't accept my thumbs up anymore?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
What are you drinking this week?
What am I drinking? I am drinking my last Auggies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Why'd you do that one tonight?
Because we're kicking off I'm trying to forget about the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Putting it
so
in
I
your
need
past.
To get this. Yeah, I need to get this out of my fridge.
Okay,
that's fair.
So I'm going to knock off my beer of the Walking Dead.
I thought you were going to be drinking one of those main brews.
No, I drank those. I have to get more of those.
Okay, Kim, what do we got tonight?
I'm drinking a can of Bliss Hazy IPA from Oscar Blues Brewery. It's a Mountain India Pale Ale. What's a Mountain India Pale Ale?
I don't know if there is such a thing, but they made it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's pretty good. I like it.
And it says Hazy does it. It's 7.2.
Nice. It's a kick ass.
Yeah.
Does it have cannabis in it?
No, it does not. No. No, so it's like a hazy, Northeast IPA.
Yeah.
It is good. It's actually got a lot of flavor to it.
Cool.
It is strong. You can taste the strength in it.
Yep. Got some nice kick to it.
But it's good. I mean, it's good. Oscar Blues does a good job. Oscar Blues is in Colorado, up in Asheville. And it says that they're actually in Austin, I believe.
Texas?
Yeah, really? They may have a new brewery in Austin.
Huh.
So
they're spreading out. They're getting all over the place.
All right. So we're covering, finally, The Walking Dead, Season 10, Episode 1, Lines We Cross.
Oh, I must have missed the episode.
Oh, for God's sakes. What did you...
Scott is actually just going to give us a synopsis of the last season of Fear of the Walking Dead. He's just going to watch each of those episodes as we go through the season and watch
the Walking Dead. I was just going to give you a synopsis of my day.
No.
That would be boring compared to this episode of The Walking Dead.
I don't know. It doesn't sound too boring.
Because
it's pretty exciting, actually. A lot of food.
Thought this was an amazing show. I don't know if it's because Fear sucked so horribly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, did you ask her? I don't remember asking her.
I'm rolling with it because you guys aren't talking.
Okay.
And it was 10 million times better than the entire season of Fear the Walking Dead put together.
10 million? How did you come to that number?
10 million. I just did. I multiplied the number of times that Daryl actually said words in this episode, which was a lot.
He did say a lot of words.
By whatever number that is.
They still sound a lot like grunts, but
he did lick his fingers at all during this one?
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, he's licking his fingers.
Yes, when he was eating food with Carol. Yeah. He was licking his fingers.
He's always licking his fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. He must have, like, permanent, like, Cheeto dust on his fingers or something.
Daryl's got Cheeto fingers.
He's always licking, like, yeah.
He's always licking something.
He's always licking something. You know what was weird to me watching this episode? I was trying to figure out, what is the difference between these two series that makes them feel so different and one feel so much more entertaining than the other?
What did you think?
I could not put my finger on it. This one was chock full of all kinds of stuff. Okay,
it's the depth of the characters. It's the depth of the characters. I mean, these characters, most of these characters we've grown up with for a while now. So they have a lot of background, and they stuck to their background. You know, Fear kind of abandoned anything that was going on with the Clark family. And so, you know, they lost that, which you grew into the series on.
Right.
But Fear, you know, but The Walking Dead is, you know, just continuing on with the characters and doing a good job of staying true to them. I think they're going a little overboard with Carol, but other than that, you know, they're being pretty true to the characters, and that's good.
I think we could pick out certain things where they went overboard on a few of them. I would agree with you, Carol, specifically with the whole "I'm a boat seaman person" thing. Was a little
constantly changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were a few scenes that were a little ridiculous in that too. But the show itself was great. And even though there was so much going on and you're checking in on everyone, which we've said in the past that it's like, do we have to check in with everybody?
First episode you do.
Well, it was well crafted. You know, it was all purposeful. It wasn't just, okay, we got to fit everybody in this right now. It did seem to flow really well. It was odd that they kind of stole that preacher big text thing, you know, when
liked it. I liked it.
But it was, to me, it was just weird that they started doing that now. All of a sudden, Fear does it. Did Fear do it too?
One time they did.
Yeah, they did do it one time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, from a graphic standpoint, Preacher did a much better job with font choice for all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But super nitpicky, I know.
One thing that they did do that I thought was kind of cool is because, like you're saying, they had to cover a lot of different characters. That central conversation when they first hear the satellite coming, when Eugene gets on the radio, they played that same conversation three times from three different perspectives.
Yes.
Right. Which was kind of cool. And it gave you everybody on the same timeline and then what was happening in these different places at the same time. Well, so I thought that was a neat.
It made sense because it was, I mean, when you started the show, it seemed like you were watching the wrong show. I honestly thought, I was like, did I miss something? Like what? Or maybe this is a commercial. Maybe this is a commercial for something else.
I loved it. But, you know, the thing about it, Stu, that I loved about it is that I kept forgetting about the satellite. And then I'd be in the store and all of a sudden you'd hear as the satellite came over them.
There were long enough time in between each of them that it kind of kept reminding. This is the big thing that's happening right now.
Well, the funny thing is when we were watching it, I think you, Stuart, said something about the satellite, like, I can't believe there's a satellite on this show, or cheesy or something like that. I said, oh, come on, this is not Fear the Walking Dead.
No, that was the nuclear.
They didn't get up in a balloon
nuclear bomb.
Oh, the nuclear bomb. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
They were talking about having a nuclear bomb.
Right. They were saying that the Whispers have a nuclear bomb.
Right.
And I said, did I miss something?
And I was like, oh, come on, this is not Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes. It
was
and then we both laughed. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes. It was a metaphor.
I'm sure it was just like that.
Yeah. But then I was like, but they do have a satellite
in
this show.
And then I think we high-fived after that.
We did.
Okay.
Nice.
This show does have a satellite falling out of the sky, but they handled it so differently than the Fear people did with the whole nuclear bomb thing. Or not nuclear bomb. Nuclear, you know, power plant.
Right.
Power pants.
That one I still don't even buy that happened. don't buy that any of that happened.
Well, you it's really the background thing that just kind of happened. You know, it was just kind of happening.
It's the background thing that's tying everything together, but it's not the main visual that is happening. That's the only thing that happens during the episode.
Right.
It's the thing that's tying all the concurrent events happening. So as we're checking in with each of the different civilizations, each of the different environments, it is bringing all the same situation to, like, tying it up at the end.
Right. And it also is bringing us into the conflict that's coming. Because that piece is what caused them to go over the border.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, this whole thing was the satellite crashing was tying all the different scenes together because it gave you a timeline where you could work with. And then once it crashed, then we've got our dilemma that's going to be going up.
I think one of the pieces about Fear of the Walking Dead, though, when it came to the nuclear power plant, it didn't seem to be very important in the storyline. Like, people were not rushing to get out of the way or to fix the power plant. Just that woman was, Grace. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas with this, it was like, all hands on deck. We got to put out this fire because it's going to destroy all of us. Like, it was a central part of the storyline. Whereas with Fear, it was so far-fetched because it was so far in the background that it doesn't even really play into the story. It's just a secondary.
Well, there's no power plant. The power plant didn't have any, like, major explosion or something. You know, I mean, that would
see the power plant?
We saw it when it exploded.
Do we?
Remember? Kinda. Because the smoke went in the air and they were like, we got to avoid the smoke when we take off in the airplane.
I kind of see the satellite as like all the other vehicles they used in Fear of the Walking Dead, like the plane or the hot air balloon or the, you know, all those other things that where it was like, oh, come on, they're using another silly, kitschy thing to drive the story right now. And when I saw the satellite, I thought, oh, well, that might work this way, you know, but it didn't at all. It actually, it worked a lot better with the story.
You know, I'm the kind of person that when I think of a disaster, a post-apocalyptic thing, I think about stuff like that. So what would happen to the satellites? Are they just going to come raining down into the ground? You know, stuff like that. So, you know, it piqued my interest because I'm looking at that and I'm going, oh, that's what I would think about. Yeah.
Well, there a movie where there were astronauts stuck on a satellite and they landed on Earth and didn't know that everything, but how bad it was on Earth?
Planet of the Apes.
No. I know there's Planet of the Apes. But there was a different one where the guy was stuck in a satellite, I think, and there were, like, people trying to get in, and he thought they were trying to get in to help him. He was, like, stuck on a beach, and he was trying to, it was two of them, two astronauts in it. He was trying to dig out. And they were trying to dig in. No, this is like really old.
Yeah, I remember you. I know what you're talking about. And then one of them gets grabbed or something.
Yeah, his fellow astronaut that was with him gets pulled out. And all of a sudden just like a hand comes down, like falls back down in. It was super scary. I remember I saw it when I was like 12 probably. But anyways. Yes. Yep. So, I mean, that, you know, this seems like a realistic thing. Hot air balloon, okay, yeah, you have to kind of explain it away as like how it could actually work. Okay, well, yeah, that's fine. But the satellites at some point are going to have to come down.
Just like the power plants are going to have to blow up.
No one's controlling them. No one's up there, you know, repairing them, refueling them, whatever. Yeah, so
they take maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was an old one, evidently, because it was from the Soviet time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, they were bound to come down at some point.
Now, I do have to ask, though, is there really any importance that we know other than what Eugene is kind of saying? Well, maybe we can get something out of here. That's technology. I mean, he seemed to know right off the bat what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which for me, I'm kind of going, okay, this is a little ridiculous. This is like the professor on Gilligan's Island. He just knows all the science now.
Right.
I mean, is he's been inside satellites messing with this stuff. And
he did make a coconut radio.
Oh, good point.
So
I stand corrected.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known to get anything off of the satellite dish or satellite, whatever. As a scientist, I'm saying.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really important through this whole thing and why the fires and everything are important is because the border is still very important through the entire episode.
Yes. And they recurring theme. Point that out a lot.
Yeah, it's a recurring thing. for when Daryl, they kill the deer, they can't go over the border to get the deer that's dead. Aaron goes over the border and Michonne goes off on
him. Reprimands him for it. Can we reel it back in?
Of course.
Go back to the beginning of the show?
Yes.
Hold on, I got to write my question down then.
Okay. Because, you know, it's obvious what they're showing us right off the bat is that they are much more organized now. I'm not sure what the period of time is, but I'm assuming it has to be a good bit of months later.
Yeah.
And so they're doing their formations against walkers practice on the beach, which I thought was a pretty cool scene.
The Roman centurion kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if you need all those formations to kill five walkers, but...
Well, they never used it again.
No.
So it seems like it's not very practical.
Yeah, I think they were just showing it to... I think they showed that because they wanted to make a cool scene and they wanted to show how organized they are.
Yeah.
Well, the best part about that scene is that it's filmed in Georgia on Jekyll Island's Driftwood Beach, which is a beautiful beach that anybody can go to. It's a public beach. And there are actually all those trees, those driftwood trees, all over the beach.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And you can climb on them. And
well, it's where the ocean's actually coming in and reclaiming where an old growth forest is.
Yeah. Oh.
So the tides are actually pulling sand away, and it's pulling all these trees. Yeah,
trees that were buried.
Yeah. Well, they're pulling it. It's pulling them into the ocean and burying them more. So you just have like these massive branches like sticking up out of the
tree roots.
Oh, wow.
All actually that's out cool. into the water too. It's pretty cool looking.
It's like a big wreck zone.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's the most beautiful beach I've ever been
it's
to.
It's very
in my
cool.
life.
But they did say on the Talking Dead that they just had some fake boat pieces that they, you know, so it's supposed to look like a shrimper that's
right.
kind of beached
there.
I'm
still trying to figure out how they got all those walkers in that boat.
That's one of the questions I had is that was so they called this the training thing, right?
Right.
So they didn't actually set that up with a bunch of walkers.
How would they have 30 walkers in there? I know. So how would you have 30 of them in that little tower? I thought that was a little silly. And not only that, you know, they kept letting them out in dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
But then they all break down the wall. I don't know why that wouldn't have happened right off the bat.
Exactly. They're like, oh, well, now their hands are getting through around the hinges.
Yeah. Oh, now they really noticed us.
Although, right. Anyways, it was a good setup that the fight scene with Michonne and them. Like, actually, Michonne specifically with some of the special effects was pretty cool.
Yeah,
with the blood splattering up in the air. That was actually super awesome.
Yeah, and then the face getting sliced off and falling in the water.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and let me ask you something. So the kids find what they say is a mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't that have been the face that went in the water?
Well, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought it was at first.
It wasn't very clear until they said, oh, it's a Whisperer's mask. I'm like, why? Why could it not just be the one that you guys just sliced?
Did they actually state that they thought it was the Whisperer's mask? Okay.
Oh, they said it throughout the show.
That's why they were freaking out.
Oh.
Right.
Because they said they found a Whisperer's mask.
That would
mask.
Be an important point for me to catch.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Good and that's point. When Daryl tells Carol, Carol... Daryl tells Carol about it.
I should listen. I should listen to some podcasts where that's explained to me.
Let's open a Chateau Noir and talk about the mask.
Holy cow.
What the hell? Some poor French pronunciation.
This is like my tongue is very fat. That's a central part of this episode, Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you going back to that now?
So you should go watch it again before you podcast. All right, go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll wait.
Okay. And we're back.
And
I'm caught up
back.
Now. Yeah, I'm caught up now.
Okay. Good man. Yeah, so I was just kind of questioning why they didn't think that was the matter. My first assumption, it was the face that went into the water.
Right.
From the attack.
Because it happened right after. But I think the face going in the water is supposed to have been symbolic, not literal.
Yes. But
it didn't come across that way.
No. I mean, you have a face going in the water, and then the next scene, the kids find a face.
Yeah. In a bucket full of shells.
And a bucket full of stuff they got off the beach.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why weren't you tying that together? So, anyway, I did think that was a little odd.
I'm glad they finally showed us RJ.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually had lines
actually,
and everything.
I really didn't care.
You never care about the kids or the lovey-dovey stuff.
No, one thing I thought was really cool, I don't know if you noticed it, but the first couple of walkers that came out, they actually, their legs were only bones. Did you see that?
No.
You could actually see through the legs.
That's cool.
So the sinew and the bones that were hanging down and so forth. It was really cool. A neat effect.
I liked, I liked the waterlogged walkers that were coming out of the ship. Were
the one
cool
with the driftwood all the way through it.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that guy coming out of the water.
That was the very first one. Yeah,
coming out of the water.
That was sweet.
I do have to ask that. He's, like, gurgling water and stuff.
Yeah.
How do they survive? Okay, so if they kill the brain, it kills the walker. So if they go underwater and they can never get oxygen, doesn't that kill the brain?
No.
Evidently not.
Okay.
Because the brain is being operated on by a virus or a parasite. We don't know which one.
Okay. And that so does not need air.
It can operate independently.
I think the science of it is not really looked into that much.
I mean, yeah, they're fucking walkers. They're zombies.
I liked how he was gurgling, though, when he came out of the water.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of Creepshow when Ted Danson was in it, and he did the underwater scene, and he came out as a ghost gurgling water. That shit creeped me out my entire life.
Did it.
Ted Danson always bothers me.
Yeah. He was good on Cheers, though.
Ted Danson was even worse. But the other thing is, the one with that same guy with the walk, with the tree coming out of him, I was thinking, he's going to be top heavy. He's not going to be able to get out of the water. He's going to fall right over backwards.
He's got to sit down. He's got to be tired.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. But great scene. And then Greg Nicotero said there were lots of Easter eggs. Like there was the barrel on the front of the boat.
Yes.
To represent Jaws. From
Jaws. Yep. The yellow barrel.
I forgot to go back and look for that. I need to look for that.
They do an aerial view of the boat and you can see it off to the front.
Okay.
Yep.
There were some other things too, but I can't remember what they were.
And a couple more Jaws references and so forth, but I can't remember what they were either. Okay. First big pet peeve of the season.
Okay.
No. Oh.
We had a point there where they find the campsite and they find the body near the campsite and it's covered in flies. We have never had flies on this show. We have dead people everywhere and we never had flies. Flies would be everywhere.
I don't think that's true, Scott.
Do you remember flies?
I feel like I remember flies before.
I've seen a lot of them.
There would be clouds of them.
We've heard them.
There'd be clouds of those things around all these dead people.
There would be, but I think that would be annoying for the storyline if we saw them all the time. I think for this one, they were being used as an element to depict time frame. As in, how long have these people been dead, and who could possibly be the ones that killed them? So, i.e., now I'm talking as I'm writing. That's in my head. Never mind. Anyways, i.e.,
I'm not following you.
Yeah, but you know, the
for
thing
example,
about
it could have been the walkers versus the whispers.
Is this going to have footnotes?
It could have footnotes.
I just think the flies bring such a sense of reality to the dead that it makes them even scarier. Because, you know, when I saw that body, when I heard the flies, I thought, that's a real body, you know, because it sounded so realistic. That's what you would expect to find.
Okay,
find
so
body.
Let me backtrack here a little bit. Are you upset that there were flies?
No, I just finally
that
noticed that they had,
before.
I've never seen it before, and I was just kind of like, wow, you know, once I saw it, I was kind of like, my goodness, that would be everywhere.
Yeah, well, it would totally be everywhere. I mean, think about, like, when they're at the garbage heap as well, or just any of these areas with, like, tons of dead.
I mean, throughout the entire season, or series, you would expect there to be obnoxious smells, ooey gooiness, flies, like all that stuff, but they can't show that every single episode.
Well, you would get used to the smells. The smells you would get accustomed to.
You would get
to.
Used to the flies too, I bet.
Yeah, but the flies should still be there. I think it made the body that much more horrific to have flies all over it because that is what you would expect to find because that's when they find a body in real life. It has
that might, you know, that might have been the part that kind of confused me as to, well, because this was after Aaron and Michonne had their talk on the bridge, right?
Yeah.
And right. So they called him over and you got to see this.
Yeah.
And right. So they go over to see the stuff in the forest. And I was with the flies. I'm thinking, so did they just kill some of their own people here?
The whispers?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Did yeah, exactly. Or these or were these.
These were they walkers. Were the campers.
They
I think.
Campers. They were survivors. They were
the campers, right? And I guess the implication was that where, they skinned
just,
them.
Just in the world, they were just people who okay. who came through that territory, set up camp, and then the whispers found them and took them out.
Because they were, they seem pretty definite that the whispers had come through recently
because of the skin.
Because of the skin,
yeah.
But how would they know it was that recent when they I mean, there was like leaves and all kinds of shit up against a lot of people.
They knew the old other ones had been there a while.
The condition of the skin that they found was still a wearable skin.
So there were people from different time periods, bodies from different time periods is what you're saying. Some were had been there a while and some had
not. Were on the bone that were like bones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pointed out that those are old.
Well, because they pointed out one that was, they said, well, that's been here a while, and it was like a full body that was not bones. It just was a naked carcass.
I thought it was.
Remember? It was a naked carcass with like a bunch of leaves and stuff up against it, and I was like.
Yeah, but I think that's what the idea was, is that because the leaves are on there, it's been sitting there for a while.
Yeah, but it still wasn't decrepit enough that the skin had come off of it.
That you still couldn't eat it.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still looked tasty, is all I was saying.
Ugh.
Hell yeah.
You still had some good meat on there is what I'm trying to say.
Ugh. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not for a sandwich.
So what did you guys think of the Negan situation these days?
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad to see Negan out. And actually, you know, I'm really glad that he had a cell to go back to. I'm glad he's not like just a regular member of society right. now that they fully trust and let out into the world to do, you know, whatever. I'm glad that there's still a bit of caution and that he's basically out on work release.
But they have someone watching over him the entire time, too.
Right.
Right, which is more realistic. You wouldn't just let this guy be part of the community all of a sudden.
No, not after what he's done at all.
No.
And then, and even for what's-her-face, Lydia... For her, I actually feel more sad for. Like, she, it's not her fault that she was born into this situation. And she's kind of had to go along with her mom's ideas just for survival. And because, I mean, hell, she's her mom. So I was glad to see that he's being watched, but so sad that she's being watched. Especially now that the Whisperers are back into play.
Right. And I think that's the idea, is they want you to feel bad for her.
Yeah.
And for and the fact that they've got Negan out of his cell gives him more of a chance to be a character in the show instead of being just someone in a cell that they go and confer with every once in a while.
And did you catch the part where they said that that was Carl's vision for the future?
Yeah.
Where he would be working in the garden?
Well, I still like the fact that Gabriel's going back to touch base with him, though.
Yeah.
You know, kind of bounce things off of him.
Exactly.
It's kind of the angel God thing or angel devil thing going on.
Yeah, good point.
That was a little creepy statement when he said, let me give you a baby bird a little bit of my, let me baby bird a little bit of my wisdom into your pretty little mouth of yours.
That was gross. Like,
what?
It was, Negan was great this episode. I loved every bit of him. I even like his new look where he's got kind of the shaven sides of his head and. His looks kind of looks super hot.
Okay.
All right. Good.
She likes old guys with skinny legs.
Yeah, all right. He had a hat on, but okay.
But no, I did think it was good that Negan was getting a little interaction. And I do think, I do agree with you. I like the Father Gabriel Negan scenes. I do not like the Father Gabriel and what's Eugene. Her name? And Eugene.
And Rosita.
And Rosita.
Sadiq.
Father
Sadiq.
Gabriel and Rosita, really?
I knew you were going to say that.
That doesn't match at all.
Rosita was super pale, wasn't she? I mean, is it just me? Mm-hmm. She had kind of like a vampire look to her. She was like really pale looking. And you were
she's beating up everything instead of taking care of her kid.
There is that. Yeah, there's she's got, well, she's got three dads taking care of the kid right now. You got Eugene, who's mm-hmm. coming up with matrix on how to, you know, what is going on with the baby the entire time.
Yes, exactly.
And Sadiq, who's actually taking care of the kid, except having like PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah, that was scary. Care.
And then
Gabriel.
Gabriel was, I don't even know what the hell Gabriel's actually doing.
He's supposed to be the love interest, but man, I don't see it.
It's 3 men and a baby.
That there was a lot going on that didn't seem to actually really Ted Danson? Mesh on that.
He just keeps popping up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There was like uncompleted stories going on there, really. It was a check-in. It was check-in on what's going on
there. Exactly. That's what it was, to reintroduce you to the weirdness of that relationship. Yeah. I'm tired. I got to tell you, I'm already tired of Eugene's witticisms. They're just taking off to such lengths that I'm just like, enough. Yeah. Enough. There was something when they were fighting the fire or something like that he said. And it was just, I wish I could remember what it was, because I just went, oh my God, just say it's a fire, you know?
Yeah. He did say something. I don't even think they focused on him. He said something, you heard him say something. And I remembered the same thing. I was like, why the hell is he saying that? Like it's an emergency right now.
Yeah. Just say it's a fire, Eugene.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. Yeah. I'm a little tired of the Eugene stuff, to tell you the truth.
You can't be too tired yet.
Well,
it's the first episode.
I
was tired of him last season.
Yeah, I was too.
True.
I really liked all the stuff that Eugene was doing with Coco the baby, because it reminded me of what you and I used to do when the triplets were little, and we charted every single pee and poop and every single time they ate and how long they ate.
Yeah, I didn't chart any of that.
I did. I charted all of that.
Yeah, we made like a bunch of different, they all had like certain diets they needed to have, but we didn't go to the extent, I didn't go to the extent of doing
it. They kept sending me the spreadsheets and I just couldn't look at them.
Yeah. We had so many spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just making them food all the time. That's what I remember. And changing diapers.
They were just eating and pooping.
Do we have enough to clean diapers? That's all I was worried about. Do we have enough formula and clean diapers to get through the week? That's all I worried about.
But anyway.
And beer. Do we have enough beer?
I think Rosita and Sadiq I can see as a couple.
Me too.
I'm just not buying the Father Gabriel thing. I just don't know what, about him would attract her.
He's
a kind soul.
Yeah, but she's a badass who's not a kind soul.
She needs somebody to balance her out.
Well, it's the same thing as why is Gabriel and Negan always talking all the time? They're like exact opposites. Right, opposites attract, Scott. I don't know if you ever heard that.
I've heard it, and I think it's bullshit.
You know what I would? You know what I would like Father mm-hmm. Gabriel to do? Get a freaking eye patch, because I'm just tired of looking at that egg yolk eye.
Egg yolk.
Exactly.
It's gross.
Where are you looking?
I know. I would be like, seriously, can you please cover that eyeball? Because it's really bothering me.
I'll get you a pirate patch.
Wow.
It is. It's weird. Because I was like, can you see? I'd be asking her, can you actually, you're having a conversation, can you see out of that thing?
I would just be like, I can't talk to you. I just keep staring.
Exactly.
I would be honest,
listen, you know, I don't have a problem if you want to show it off. That's fine. But I'm probably going to be looking at it the entire time during this conversation.
Hey, let me ask you, you know, speaking of which, what did you think of, what was the guy's name? The other doctor?
Oh, that was weird and creepy.
Dante?
Like, Dante.
Yes.
Dante.
Like, yeah. What was he saying about the, like, he was going to jump his bones or something?
Yeah, he said, you're looking at me like you're going to kiss me or something like that.
Yeah, he says, if you stare at my mouth much longer, then you need to kiss me.
That was very
This is kind of like weird. But I thought he was kind of funny.
I didn't.
It was actually, I don't think it came off well.
Yeah, I don't think he...
Because I looked at Kim, I was like, what is going on? Is this still part of him, like, hallucinating right now, or
what? That's
what
I thought, too.
I think he's going to be the comic foil to Sadiq's life.
It was supposed to be, like, a friend kind of, you know, Josh, like, making fun of him.
But is he secretly going to be gay and, like, come on to Sadiq later on and cause a rift?
Or he could have been just making a joke about the fact that Sadiq's just staring at his mouth.
He was just joking. Yeah, he was just joking with
him. I don't know. It was weird.
But it just came across very odd, especially with what Sadiq was going through at that point. Because he was kind of going through this, like, non-reality thing, flashback thing. Right, because
the baby was screaming, and that's why Dante came to help out. Yeah.
When Dante actually kissed him, though, that was the very weird part.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, it's obvious that Dante respects Sadiq, but Sadiq doesn't have a whole lot of respect for Dante.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if you're going to throw in something that kind of might pique my interest a little bit, it might be something like that. I think it would be interesting to see their interaction in the future.
This may not have been the time to do it.
Well,
you know, I think that might have, maybe next episode.
I disagree with you. I thought it kind of threw something in there you weren't expecting.
Same with,
it definitely did that.
Yeah, and same with what's his name? Flirting.
Oh, yes, the music professor. Teacher.
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
Yes. Yeah, but hey, for God's sakes, take your sports coat off. You're on the beach.
Why? Oh, he's got to look dapper.
Yeah, his character, the situations they were putting him in seemed very forced. It's like, dude, you got to. If they're opening up the ranks so he can come through and start killing people, and he's like dressed up.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like. But the sports jacket to me is kind of like that's his uniform.
Yes.
That we can't see him unless he has his uniform on. And I'm kind of like, no, he's a good enough character to just let him be like you would be at a beach with a T-shirt on or something like that. Not wearing a stupid sports coat.
Well, the thing that gets me is that it's hot as hell here, y'all. It's humid. And when you're on the beach, you are not wearing that kind of clothing. Especially if you are supposed to be active and moving a lot and wielding an axe or whatever.
Well, Kim, in essence, you got my point.
I did get your point, but I totally understand what you're saying, but I also think his little jackets are cute.
Well, you don't need certain clothing on the characters to portray the stereotype of where they came from.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean,
what I'm saying. Exactly.
We understand the background of who the character is. You don't have to keep reminding us with that.
It could be more in stuff he says and so forth that reminds us that he's an educator or something. But
I was kind of thinking a similar thing with Michonne. Mm-hmm. I was like, do you think, like, she wants to maybe just wear some comfortable pants?
I know, hers are so tight.
Instead of that same pair of extremely tight pants all the time?
Well, you know, they did it with Rosita, because when they first showed her, she was the comic book Rosita with the short shorts and the little top.
Right, right.
And now she wears pretty much regular clothes. Like, the clothes she was wearing today, I would have been like, heck yeah, you just had a baby and you are totally relaxed in that outfit.
I can understand wanting to have clothes that's not going to get caught on stuff, especially when you have to fight and stuff like that. Yeah. But at some point, you gotta think, okay, it's not about, like, the looks of my clothes. Like, I want something that's gonna be comfortable.
Here's another thing. Yeah.
Especially when it's hot as hell.
Right.
Either there's a world shortage of shorts out there, or people aren't paying attention. Because hardly anybody's wearing shorts. They're all running around in jeans and so forth. And I'm kind
of
like,
when they're wearing long sleeve shirts and jeans, I mean, that's part of that's protection as well.
That's what I would say too.
You've got protection from possibly the sun, but mainly protection from being bit.
Snakes and bugs and everything. But at the same time,
there's like chomping things.
Oh, well, them too. But you know, they're probably going to encounter more snakes than anything and bugs out in the world. But,
Flies,
snapping especially turtles. On the beach. No.
Maybe some snapping turtles.
But I think if they're going to portray them in those types of outfits, they need to, like, show them saying, like, God damn, it's fucking hot out here. Or these goddamn bugs are driving me nuts, you know?
I'm sucking this water down. Oh, my God.
Right. Because that's what we in Georgia would be saying and have been up until this past Saturday.
Right.
Oh, the heat finally broke.
When fall finally hit.
Finally broke.
Yes. It's fall, y'all. It is fall.
Yes, thank God. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just doesn't seem to quite apply. Because even the actors talk about how hotter than hell it is. Yeah. And they're making the show.
Yep.
You know, so why not, you know, show them be hot. You know, let them be hot. But maybe with some more comfortable clothes on.
Correct.
Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and then when we'll come back, we'll talk about a couple more things.
Cool.
Okay, we're back. Kim, I damn well know you are dying, dying to talk about Carol and Daryl.
Wasn't that sweet?
Oh, was that your miss?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Wasn't Excuse that me. Sweet, though, how Daryl is so concerned? Well, first of all, Carol gets off that boat, and she's not really caring too much about King Ezekiel, but she does care about her friend.
Yeah, that was Daryl. Pretty cool.
That was very awkward and uncomfortable.
That was weird.
I'm so happy that Carol has become such a seafaring person in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
She could have fly a helicopter next episode.
Well.
Yeah, Carol was annoying in this episode.
She was a bit full of herself, yeah. I think.
Oh, she was annoying as hell.
But yeah. I like that their relationship has continued throughout all these years. And I don't know why, but it was this episode that brought that all home to me when Daryl's like, or I think it was her. She said, you know, the two of us, when this all started, the two of us were struggling to find our way. And Daryl's like, yeah, you know, basically like we were going through some shit and we're the only ones who understand that. And that's why we have such a huge bond. I'm like, holy cow, I understand this now.
Yeah, but it was also in a way a bit annoying because it was like, yeah, you know, we're the originals from the show.
Yeah.
And all these other people are kind of crap, which is why I treat King Ezekiel like that.
Yeah.
Right. Because we're the originals.
We're OGs.
So, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have, from the beginning, have not bought the Carol Daryl thing. I mean, she looks like his mom.
Well, no, but it's their friends. It's not.
I know that. I know that. I know that. But the whole, I do like the Daryl Connie thing. I think that's cute.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
That one makes sense
Especially
to me.
Especially that he's learning sign language.
And I'm glad they did that because of your first comment. Because of, Daryl Carol thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that they're kind of getting his attention on someone else.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That seems a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, because it always seemed like Daryl was supposed to be pining for Carol, and I just never could quite buy it. But I do like this because, compared to a couple of years ago where Daryl was nothing but a grunter, he's now, talking and he's actually looking at being interested in somebody other than maybe some of the animals in the woods. I don't know. So I like Daryl's character in that respect, a little more depth to it. And I did, and I will have to admit, though, I did like the scene when Carol was making fun of Daryl. I did think that was funny. And it did lead to one of the best lines of the show, which is where he's telling her that she needs to stay because otherwise he has to go punch holes in all the boats.
Yes. Yeah, it was funny.
Very cute.
I mean, they've always had that relationship between the two, and it was always like Daryl was the protector.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But for so many seasons, Carol never needed protection from anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like, well, why is he still thinking that he has to be the protector?
It did make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
And not that Connie needs protection, but she needs, she maybe needs a little bit help, for fitting into the society a little bit more than what, and that's, who he is someone that's there to help the people.
Well,
that
Connie
have
is definitely
less.
Somebody who's comfortable with herself. That's for sure.
Right.
Totally. The whole superhero conversation with her sister. Mm-hmm. So awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
So she's not intimidated by situations. So I think somebody like Daryl is actually probably a pretty good kind of person she might be with. Someone who's a little bit misunderstood in some way, right. in some yes. ways. Has a lot of respect, but you know, I don't think anybody in the community is thinking, "Hey, I like to go hang out with Daryl," because he's not the most talkative or
yeah.
Well, he's recluse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Connie, when she sees that he's doing stuff like that, yeah, definitely makes a big difference. So anyway, I like that relationship.
But they communicate on a similar level.
Right. But, okay, so my question, though, is, like, when the whole satellite comes down and the fire starts, well, beforehand, we see the deer go across the border, and Daryl's like, no, we can't cross the border. And she's like, well, that deer could feed 300 people, which is not true.
200.
What was that?
200.
Whatever, it's still not feeding 200 people.
I know.
But then she's okay going over the border to fight the fire. No, she's okay going over the border to fight the fire and to get the deer. But why is that when she's the one that is like so, she's still so incredibly pissed off at Alpha for taking her child and essentially breaking up her marriage, which I don't know if she, I'm sure she blames her for that a little bit, but she has no care in the world about going over the border, but Daryl does.
Right.
So it's like, why is Carol so okay with that? Like, she's antagonizing Alpha. Like, bring it on,
bitch. I think that's part of it. I think she's aggressive towards that situation.
Mm-hmm. But knowing that that will put everybody else in danger.
She doesn't care.
When she's the one who's always cared about keeping everybody safe.
Right. But I think that's kind of what Daryl was saying, to, you know, is that she's going out in this boat going looking for Alpha, trying to find them so she could deal with them herself. But she's not telling anybody that. But he knows it. So, yeah, she does give a shit. She wants to kill Alpha. But, you know, that's one thing that real evident of that is the fact that, you know, at the very end of the damn show, she's standing on that cliff top. Alpha comes walking out, and she just stares at her.
Yeah,
that was so classic.
Instead of hiding, you know.
So classic. What?
I loved it.
Did you?
Oh, I thought it was stupid.
Why?
I thought it was stupid, too. I'd be like, get the hell away from the edge of the cliff.
She had plenty of time to hide, and Alpha never would have known they were there.
No, I know. I agree.
She's creating an issue between the two societies by standing out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a little stare down going on.
Alpha was not coming out there trying to find someone standing up there.
No,
obviously.
She was coming to get some rays.
And yet Carol, and she was doing some weird, like, snake thing with her neck.
She's
very odd. But the fact that Carol just stood there and didn't move, like, didn't even try to hide, like, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, screw you, I'm going on a boat, and all the other people on land are going to have to deal with you. So
that's right, that's so exactly there. How I felt about that situation, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
weird.
I think that was after the fact, after the part where Daryl was convincing her to stay, because, like you said, Scott, he was going to have to put holes in all the boats, so... She was there for good, so if she's going to be there for good, then she's going to pick a fight with Alpha and her people.
Yep.
So I got to ask, though, so the reasoning for her going out on the boat in the first place, was she getting away from all these people?
She was doing her hermit house again.
Yeah.
You know, remember when she got outside the walls and went to the house? That's what she was doing. But at the same time, you know, Daryl insinuates that she's also going looking for them. But there's other people on that boat.
Yeah. But, I mean, but is this all similar setup to what Aaron was saying as well when he's on the bridge? He's like, why are we acting like everything's okay?
Yeah.
She's in the same mindset as, like...
Yeah, well, she wants outside the society.
She
right
wants
now.
War.
No, what I'm saying is when she's staring down Alpha,
it's
kind of the same as Aaron's saying, like... Why are we acting like this is even like acceptable?
I think Carol was just
kind
of like, bitch, you see me. Yep. I'm right here.
Which is like weird because like the tables have turned because Daryl used to be that one where he's like, fuck it, I'm taking your ass on. Now he's like, no, we don't want to upset the status quo. Don't cross the border. Don't piss him off.
So it's Daryl and Michonne that are ones that are kind of like trying to keep.
Right. Because they've seen how much death and destruction that these people have brought to their communities.
Yep. Yep. So, anyway, I think we've covered it.
We have. I don't know. Do we even have time for hits and misses?
Of course.
Right. We got to do hits or misses.
Of course.
Kimmy, may I avail on you to start out with the hits?
Okay, my hit is a very simple one. And that is, we're watching The Walking Dead and not Fear the Walking Dead.
Ah, you stole mine.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like night and day,
you guys
day,
were really
y'all.
Creative this week.
Not really.
That's a pretty big one, I think. It's like night and day watching these two different shows.
It was...
it can be.
It was refreshing.
It was a massive contrast between the last season of Fear the Walking Dead and then coming into this one episode.
I don't think
it's going to keep up with that.
Right, yeah. I'm tempering my joy over this thing just because I've been in the middle of some of these Walking Dead seasons and I've been like, what the hell? You know,
yeah.
So... We'll see.
I don't think it'll keep up this pace either, but there's such, gosh, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint, like we've said, what that is, but it is so refreshing to watch The Walking Dead versus Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes. What was your hit, Scott?
My hit was probably my favorite line of the show. When Ezekiel and Daryl are standing on the dock, and Ezekiel says, "You ever wonder why they call bird shit guano?" And Daryl goes, "Nah."
he said, "Nah, it's just bird shit," or something like that. Didn't
yeah, right. But nah, it, but he says just shit. "Nah," and then there was a pause, and I just barreled out laughing.
That's a sad scene. Because Ezekiel's waiting for Carol to come back, and she totally blows him off.
Mm-hmm.
I still like their conversation though; it was pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Mm. Nah. All right, what was your miss?
My miss would have to be the CGI deer that died on the railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah, that was a little lame.
It was, I mean.
Yeah, because he kind of melted into the ground. He's like.
Yeah, it just wasn't very convincing. It wasn't good.
Stu?
My miss was the Dante scene.
Oh, ah. That was just creepy.
That was really weird to me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It was unneeded and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I'm going to go with saying that's a miss, though, because, I mean, I want to see what happens first.
It was a miss. I think it was
what happens is he's going to, like, kidnap what's-his-face and put him in a basement and, like, bonk his ass.
Yeah, I mean, it was portrayed like this guy. Wow. Like, is there
that's how I felt.
This guy,
I felt
wrong
dirty.
With this guy?
I felt dirty.
A little dirty after
that's
a miss,
that
Scott.
Wow.
Things that make him feel dirty.
Sadiq.
Bit of a miss.
Sadiq, yeah.
Bit of a miss. Well, no, right. I don't think he was going for Sadiq, but it was weird that Sadiq's here with his kid, and he's trying to, like, wake him up from whatever PTSD vision thing that he's having right there.
That's weird.
But it just came across very uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, I think it was supposed to. I think Sadiq is this guy really likes Sadiq, but
I don't know why you're sticking out for the scene, Scott. I don't understand.
Well, because I just don't think it was a real... there was much more things I would call a miss in there than that.
That was my miss.
Like the one I'm about to mention right now.
No, that was my miss.
I know
never let me have my miss.
All right, what's your miss?
My miss is Carol putting out a fire with the walker's blood.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that.
That was the other one.
That was super cheesy.
But brilliant.
No.
There's no way it had that much blood in it, though.
That was Fear of the
Walking Dead.
That was
not brilliant. That was cheesy as hell.
Sure it
was,
y'all.
It was terrible.
She thought about stuff before she actually did it.
Oh,
that was ridiculous.
Number one, I've never seen a walker bleed out like that.
No, I haven't either. I mean, there was way too much blood in that walker.
I mean, it was just stupid.
That was just a gimmick.
That
was for a gratuitous gore kind of thing. That was it.
But even then, you know, just the fact that she actually was using it to put out a fire, I was just like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, did you see the pile? That was like the fifth one she had done with. She just like kept grabbing them and cutting their throats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just was like, you got a great fire scene going on and you throw that hokey thing in the middle of it. Oh my God. Terrible. So that's my miss.
To go along with that, the whole fire scene where they had the backpacks.
Yeah.
So
Where did they get those?
They made them. They have nothing in this world, yet they have backpacks for water.
No. They've been making all kinds of stuff. What are you talking about?
Out of metal?
That's what they're showing us.
What I'm talking about is that's the thing they're spending their time on making? Water backpacks?
As much as anything else.
Like, why not buckets?
Why would they think to do that?
They did make buckets.
Why would they think to do that?
It seems silly to me.
Why? I would never think they may have
had some other time they needed to put out a fire.
How do you know?
Okay, there's no...
I said they may have had another time
they need to put out a fire. If they're making them, they need to make them bigger. Because those things would not hold much water.
They were like scuba tanks.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyways, there was a large fire, and they had like all those backpacks ready to go.
Yes.
Scott seems to think that's okay.
Stuart, they also had a lot of buckets.
Okay.
Well, they got to have buckets of sand.
Oh, they did. Too. They did. They had some buckets, and Ezekiel was throwing sand. That makes more sense.
Except he was throwing it all over the fire.
He was throwing it everywhere. He wasn't throwing it on one spot.
He wasn't throwing it on the fire, though.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It was like you need to like kind of quench like spots of the fire with that.
Exactly. I wanted Jerry to say, "Hey, dude, aim next time."
Well, anyways, I thought the Apocalypse Ghostbusters was a little weird.
Okay. I think the whole idea is that they were showing that they are organized and have made things to, you know, to handle emergencies that could come up.
I totally understand your criticism of my comment, and good. I do not agree with it.
That's fine.
Okay.
You don't know better.
No, I do not.
Okay, so let's go into our buy it or cleave it segment.
Okay.
Ken just renamed it, and I think it's brilliant.
Thank you.
So it's going to be buy it or cleave it, guys. So I'm going to read you a statement, and then you're going to tell me if you buy it, why, and if you cleave it, why don't you think so?
What do we win at the end of this?
You win a finger from me.
A new car.
A new car. Okay. Hey.
Okay.
Taco.
All right. So number one, Aaron is going to go overboard and cause a war.
I think the war's already caused by Carol.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So I am going to say, I'm going to cleave that because he's not even going to get a chance to do anything because Carol already screwed everything up.
Okay.
I'm going to go against you and say he's going to help Carol screw everything up in some fashion. So I'll buy that.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
Scott, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to withhold my opinion because it's for more about you guys.
Okay, all right.
Always.
Alpha thinks it was just Carol up there.
Cleave it. Okay, so first of all, I'm a little concerned and confused that the Whisperers did not also see this huge piece of metal falling out of the sky and realize that their forest was on fire. But I think, what was the question? Oh, she thinks she's alone? No. I think she's going to come across the burned out forest and understand that something happened there. And it's going to be all out war. It's not going to be Carol's fault per se, but Carol will be the one who started it in Alpha's eyes.
I'm going to cleave it and say that I don't think Alpha really cares whether Carol's alone or not. She's just going to go after her.
I would agree with that too.
Gotcha.
Because she's over the border, and since there is a problem over the border, I think the Whisperers just want some issue to arise where they have an excuse to go after these people anyways.
But our people have also seen that somebody's been over the border for their side too, right?
Yeah, that's how they found the skin. It's escalated tensions on both sides.
Yeah.
All right. It's Berlin again.
Yeah.
All right. And the last one. Eugene will build a huge bomb from the satellite materials.
Fuck no. Cleave it.
No, I think he's not smart enough. I could buy that. I could buy that for
What's the bomb going to be for?
Against the Whispers.
Nah.
Why do you think that, Kim?
I
Why are you bringing out the cleaver?
I don't think they had enough time to get stuff off of the satellite. And I don't know. I just don't think he did.
Stu, you're
buying it? I am buying that. Yes, I'm buying that. He's going to build something out of that. I don't know if it's necessarily a bomb, but he's looking to build something. And this is the excuse to give Eugene some materials to make something.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but he's going to make something out of it.
Okay.
He could make a big cleaver, like a big automated cleaver.
Exactly.
For cleaving
it. And evidently, they were trying to pick up the whole damn satellite.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I guess we
got to get out of here, but let's grab the whole satellite. Everybody,
let's
get
just
around.
Bring
it.
The whole damn satellite. Yes, just get some leverage, and we'll pick this bad boy up.
And Michonne's like, "All right, if Eugene's not leaving, we got to pick We're the whole staying. Damn thing
up." I would have been like, "Motherfucker, get your ass out of here right now!" It's like a little child.
Wow, do you? Wow, do you talk to your children that way?
Not my quite goodness. Like that, but yeah.
Oh my!
Not
goodness.
All the time.
Sometimes when they really piss me off.
No.
Okay. Well, that's adorable.
I'm about to be talking to Bacon like that right now.
I know.
Well, Kim, let me ask you this. I got a big question.
Drop it,
do
Bacon.
Do we have any listener comments?
Of course we do.
Yes.
Belinda Wingate said, "This was a great first episode of the season. It's nice to see everyone back together and see Michonne smiling. The scene with Sadiq makes me wonder if he is struggling with PTSD or a guilty conscience. I see that Lydia is still an outcast, so who taught her how to use the bow staff? Love the scene between Daryl and Carol, BFFs. I'm looking forward to the season, especially with Lauren Cohen coming back."
Belinda hit on two things that I did forget that I wanted to mention. It was nice seeing Michonne not being an asshole the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did think that it was interesting about Lydia with her staff, the practicing she was doing. It would be, I do want to find out who she's been working with on that.
But it's Morgan, what's the word I'm looking for?
Morgan left?
Like, you know, like when it's not that person, but they're being like superimposed.
Disembodied Morgan? Are you thinking disembodied Morgan?
Maybe that's it.
Oh, shit. It was the spirit of Morgan.
The spirit of Morgan.
Okay, spirit of Morgan. Yeah, well, he wasn't teaching her very well. It was actually funny because...
I'm taking the cleaver to that one, Kim.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I would too.
When did she... She discussed it after the cast or something. Or she was being interviewed at the Talking Dead thing, I think. And she was talking about, I was worried that people were going to think it was unnatural looking and all this kind of stuff. Hmm. Which I would agree.
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was definitely, she wasn't as smooth with it as some of them. That's why I'm interested to find out who's been working with her on it. But anyway.
Like Kim said, disembodied Morgan. Elizabeth Lawson said, "Oh God, I had forgotten what a good Walking Dead show was like. Top quality content. I feel like the first 5 minutes of this episode were a gift to everyone who suffered through fear this season."
Exactly.
"Proper horsey people. Not fart-ass wannabes. Now this is how proper action scenes are supposed to be done. The level of intensity is upped tenfold, and the audience is immediately engaged. Grandpa Negan."
Yeah, I got to agree. I don't know. You know, I'm not quite agreeing with the horsey people because Aaron looked really uncomfortable on that damn horse.
I love that she's calling them horsey
people. Yeah, he did. I agree with that. He did.
He did look very smooth on it. And who were the two warrior girls? Oh, shit.
From the Oceanside?
No, the Yumiko and Magma.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yumiko
right.
looked extremely uncomfortable on that horse.
Is her name Magna or Magma?
Magna.
Okay, I think you
not
said Magma.
Not like lava.
Yeah, you said Magma.
No, she's not a lava. But yeah, I mean, it was a gift. That's true. You know, it's definitely nice to get back to a show that I don't cringe when I think I have to watch it on a Sunday night.
Seriously. I'm like excited to watch it again.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's great. Our friend Emmeline Veltkamp said, "So good! !! Dang, our peeps are organized! !! The fighting on the beach and even fighting the fire. They knew what they were doing as individuals and as a group."
Mm-hmm.
See? Like I said, they were organized.
Yeah.
With their water backpacks.
All right, Diane LaSorsa, who I think is new to the show. So, hi, Diane.
Welcome, Diane.
You're talking to our show.
Yeah. Okay. Said, "Excellent episode. Great start to a new season. So many scenes were done beautifully. Daryl and Carol, Connie and her sister, Aaron and Michonne. Just great writing and storytelling. Carol and Alpha, it is on. Cannot wait for more."
I think they should get rid of Michelle.
Michelle
needs to be off the scene. You know, and she's right. I mean, some of the camera angles and all were really cool. The camera angle at the beginning with the walker coming out of the water
so
was
cool.
Very Saving Private Ryan-esque. Yeah. From D-Day, the D-Day beach scene.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. I thought that was a neat angle that they were taking like that.
Yep.
So, good cinematography.
And here we have the better half. Laura LaVarnway says, I loved when Daryl told Carol she needed to stay and he didn't want to have to poke holes in the boats.
Love you.
Smiley face.
Yep. Mark, the not as great part of the duo.
Yeah, the loser half.
Mark LaVarnway said, very good. Although the first scene with Judith on the radio I thought was going to be more PSA commercials, but it wasn't. Thank God. The Carol and Daryl scene was the highlight, but when he began throwing down his wisdom, that was the cherry. He ain't wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, Mark.
All right. Laura Grimes at TWD Losty said, smells of the best Walking Dead. It tells you an amazing season is ahead. We have lost so many characters, and that is very sad, but who says we still haven't seen the best season? Loved it. Very good. And yes, training battle tactics, wow. Epic intro. Good balance, action versus dialogue.
All right. Very good. Agreed.
Cash Cooper at Cash Coop said, nice touch with the chapters showing the story. Okay, so he liked that. He liked the chapter thing. Okay.
I did too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Showing the story from different locales and then converging at the time of the satellite crash. Enjoyed Three Men and a Baby, but we'll have to see what Gabriel and Rosita feel about all this. Overall, nice balance between action, moving the story forward. And I think everybody listening, hearing Kim fighting the dog under the table while I'm reading that, it was probably going to be more enjoyable.
What the hell was that about?
So sorry. So sorry.
It even made me cringe.
Just grabbing toys.
As the microphone is bouncing all over the table.
I know, exactly. I'm like,
oh, he's an annoying little puppy.
Jeff Blue Wave 2020 at New Jeff CT said, definitely a good start to the season with the tension of the whispers hanging over the group. Thought it was cool to see them using Roman-style military tactics in the beginning. Love the intense Carol Alpha stare down at the end. Good setup overall. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Totally. I agree as well.
Yep.
All right.
I agree. The shields were kind of fun, even though I don't think those spikes would do a whole lot of damage on a walker. But
they're more for looks, I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Hold them in
or
place
for bad people.
Hold them in place for a little bit.
No.
Fan Mom at Fan Mom AF said, I loved it. It was like being reunited with family after a long separation.
There you go.
Schrodinger's Cat at In Paradox State said, I shed tears of joy being able to enjoy TWD-verse after the appalling bad Fear Season 5. I spent the entire premiere throwing my hands up in excitement. Love the pace and the different POVs, dialogue, the Alpha Carol stare down, the epic intro training scene, the duo's trio moments.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Mbop, a.k.a. Chris at QPoison10, said, so many people, it's a bit confusing. Good stare out with Carol and Alpha. Negan needs to take charge soon. Beginning reminded me of them Vikings, but agree the training was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Mbop.
Isn't that what I said?
I love you, buddy.
M.
It's not.
The letter M. It's not the letter M.
No, but when you put the letters together, it's M.
It's M. Next week on The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 2, we are the end of the world. Okay. The origins of Alpha and Beta are revealed. Alpha attempts to toughen up Lydia as they prepare to walk with the dead. The Whispers create their herds. Okay. So is Lydia back with them now?
No.
She says Alpha attempts to toughen up Lydia.
It also says we learn the origins of Alpha and Beta. So we learn how Lydia became the
person she is. We're seeing background to the Whispers.
I think Lydia is going to be back with the Whispers.
Eventually, I think so.
So no, unfortunately,
I think she will be next episode.
So the unfortunate thing is we're not back with what's going to be happening from what transpired in this past episode. We're back with the Whisperers.
We're going to do a way, way back machine.
I don't like that.
I'm not big on
that.
Way, way back machines? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not my favorite.
I'm excited to see the origins of Alpha and Beta. To see I'm how that really. All happened.
Oh, are you?
I am. Super excited.
I'm really not.
Y'all, I am so excited that The Walking Dead is back. I could pee myself.
Okay. You did earlier, I think.
I did.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're banging on the desk
made me pee myself.
Yeah. Scott's having problems. Scott's using a jar now.
I am. A beer bottle. I'm using my Auggie's beer bottle.
I mean...
Keeping it real, Kim. I'm keeping it real.
That's gross. If...
Ew.
I'm just saying, if they could make the new series half as awesome as this one is, which they never will, then it would be great. Otherwise, it's going to be another Fear the Walking Dead. Why bother? Let's just stay with this one.
I'm happy that they keep this season going the where it's going right now. That's all I'm happy for. Because after Fear the Walking Dead, I don't want to belabor a point. But this was very refreshing and a good start to the series.
Yeah, it was good.
You don't think it was a lot better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I'm not getting all giddy over this because I've been let down by them before, too.
Well, you're a glass half empty kind of guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That glass is kind of a little.
Well, you're actually like a glass. You may say that's what I wanted in that glass, but that's not even what I wanted in that glass.
Yeah. That's milk. Yeah. I didn't want that.
It's like,
that's not what I ordered for that glass. You can fill it up halfway with beer, please.
I was looking for a can, and you give me a glass.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's exactly. Like, no, yeah, I'm you've okay completely with the screwed glass. Up.
You're going to give me a glass. It's okay. Just not milk.
God. Okay.
Oh, don't call him a god. It goes straight to his head.
It does.
All right. So y'all write in to us, please.
Hey, they are writing into us. Look at all these comments.
I'm getting good, to just great comments, make you folks. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Well played, Kim.
At fearmepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is fearmepodcast and Facebook is facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.